Good morning. Over the last several sessions, we've had a number of themes. I was checking the notes. One session was called Relax, you know, quit worrying about stuff. God will take care of it. Then last time we talked about letting go and letting God, and you just do your best and God will do the rest, and read a whole lot of records where people did what they could and then just had to stop and wait and see what God would do. We're going to carry on the same basic theme today, looking at patient expectation. There's a Hebrew word I've spoken of many times. It's spelled Q-A-W-A-H, kawa. And it is usually translated wait in an English Bible, but it has the added sense of waiting with expectation. You know, you may be going on a vacation in 2 weeks, and you may be twiddling your thumbs saying, I really want to go. I'm tired of going to work. I want to go on that vacation. But there's a level of expectation there. You're looking forward to it. Because probably if you're taking all that time and money to go on a vacation, it's probably someplace you want to go. And you're looking forward to whatever you're going to do there. So it's you are waiting. There is a time function. But the expectation is the clear point we want to make sure we get. So we'll be reading a lot of verses about patiently expecting God to take care of you. There are a lot of times we get very impatient and we don't want to wait for stuff and we have a very negative expectation about what's going to happen. And we're much better off and much happier and much more successful when we get very patient, knowing God's going to come through, and we have a very positive expectation. I mean, you could really enjoy those last 2 weeks at work before the vacation because you're looking forward to that fun place you're going, those fun things you're going to do. And this is really fun. And I always look forward to having dogs around when I visit here. They're very nice dogs. They settle down more the further we get into the teaching. Okay, here we go. Let's go start in Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. And verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Wait with expectation. Be expecting God to bless you. Be expecting God to bring you deliverance. Be expecting God to take care of you. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. You see, it takes courage to be patient and wait on the Lord. And something we've spoken about many times, a lot of people think of courage as, you know, running into a gun battle or, you know, getting into a brawl on the street or, you know, being involved in some contact sport where everybody's knocking you over. And those things do take courage, no doubt about it. But the big courage that we have to have every day is to wait on the Lord, to expect it, God to bless you. The easy thing to do for many people, it's not so easy for me because I've sort of been working with my brain for so long. It's easy for me to just pray and expect God to bless me. I don't always do it perfectly, but it comes much easier to me than it used to. But for many people, the easy thing to do is just get all negative and complain and whine. And as we said, there's a big difference when you face a problem between venting for a few minutes about how tough it is or just getting completely negative and continuing to whine about it for days, weeks, or months. It takes courage to wait with expectation on the Lord. So sure, you get a little shock, go, dang, I don't want that to happen, but I'll pray and I'll expect God to bless me. Well, you remember that section with Jehoshaphat? He heard he was getting attacked by those three armies, and the first thing he did was he feared. He got scared. But he didn't stop there. He then went ahead to pray, and they fasted, and they asked God what to do, and God told them. So it's okay to get a little shook. Just don't stop there. You know, it's like if somebody cuts you off in your car, and you slam on the brake and go, that's okay. It's okay. Your blood pressure will rise, and it'll take you a minute to settle down. But don't stay there in the middle of the highway for the next 2 weeks complain about that idiot that cut you off. take a few deep breaths and go on with your trip. Thank God you missed the guy. Mm-hmm. So, wait with expectation on the Lord. Be of good courage. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't wimp out and get negative and give up. Be of good courage, and he shall what? Strengthen thine heart. What a great promise. So you have a tough situation, which we all do. You have a tough situation. Instead of panicking, instead of giving up, instead of whining, instead of complaining, again, a little of that's okay to get some perspective. But once you've done that, forget about it. Expect the Lord to bless you. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37. By the way, I have way too many notes here for today, so I'll probably stop halfway through and finish this next time. Otherwise, we'll miss lunch and dinner. We don't want to do that. Okay, Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now look at this next one. Delight thyself also in the Lord. See, if you just trust in the Lord, you'll get to dwell in the land and eat. You know, and that's a lot, because if you read a lot of history, getting to live in your own house and have food, it's not always available. A lot of places in the world, it's not available now. We sort of take it for granted. I have a roof over my head and a supermarket a mile away. We sort of take it as a given, but it hasn't always been that way. In many places, it still isn't. So that's good. Trust in the Lord, and you'll get to live at home and be fed. Now, if you go the next step, delight thyself also in the Lord. Get excited about the things of God. It's just the thing you thrill about, you dwell on, you meditate on, you think about. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee what? The desires of thine heart. The things you want deep down inside, he'll find a way to get them for you. May not be what you're thinking you want, but, you know, deep down inside, everybody has desires and goals and ambitions, and God's going to give you those if you delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And that's a great word, commit, because it means to roll. Just picture there's this big heavy weight on your shoulders, and you just roll it off. Let's put it all on Brian's shoulders. No, he can't carry it either. We put it on God's shoulders. You know, somebody can help you a little bit, and it's wonderful when people want to help you, but ultimately, you roll it all over onto God's shoulders. Commit or roll thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Wait for him. He'll always come through for you. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. He doesn't matter. Cease from anger, verse 8, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, those that expect him to bless them, they shall what? Inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth. Okay, let's go on to verse 34. Wait on the Lord, and waiting with expectation on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. They'll be cut off, but you'll just be watching. Verse 35, I've seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yeah, I sought him, but he couldn't be found. Now look at this favorite verse. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. Again, we've talked about this before. People have so many great goals. It may be a financial goal. It may be a physical goal to run a race. It may be some other, I want to go buy something. People have all kinds of goals in life. But you don't run across a lot of people who, when you say, "What are you up to this summer?" "I want to be peaceful." Now, you can do a lot of other things and be peaceful. Maybe you do want to take that vacation you were talking about and be peaceful while you're there. Great. But it says, "Mark the perfect man," verse 37, "Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." So, according to this verse, which is very clear, the perfect man is the peaceful one. And the reason he's peaceful is he's trusting God, so he has nothing to worry about. So that's another reason why we have to wait on the Lord. We just have to expect God to bless us so that we can have that great peace. Psalm 40. Another great one. Here in Psalm 40. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he," what? "Inclined." I waited. I had expectation that God was going to come through when I needed it. "And he inclined." He leaned over and heard my cry. I don't know about you, but I spend time at times around very busy people, and I have to tell them something like 3 times before it clicks, because they're thinking of 3 other things and checking 6 social media things. So about the 3rd time I say, "Now, so when are we leaving?" "Oh, we're leaving?" "Yes." 3 times I said, "We're leaving at 10 because we got to be there at 10:30 because I blah, blah, blah." "Oh, we're leaving at 10. Okay." So even people that like you, who you're working on a project with, often really won't hear what you're saying. And they're not being mean. They're just distracted by 6 different things. So it happens to me all the time. And a lot. It's rather humorous, actually. But not God. What does it say here? "I waited patiently for the Lord," Psalm 40, verse 1, "and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." He leaned over so he could hear better. He was paying attention to the psalmist, and he listened. Probably the first time he said it. I think God must be able to multitask better than anybody. Well, Brian here and a lot of people I know work on computers, and they're pretty darn good. But I don't think they could, like, handle 1 billion operations at once. Matter of fact, at least the way it used to be, Brian, is computers could only do 1 thing at a time. They just did it so fast, it seemed like they were doing 10 things at a time. Whereas God can probably actually do 1 billion things at once. That is great computing power. So, at any rate, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He took me out of the pit and from the miry clay." I got to hum that song. That could be our theme song this week. Having a tough day and you think life is really the pits Tuesday afternoon at 2 p.m., just start humming. "He took me out of the pit and from the miry clay. He put my feet in a rock, establishing my way." It's a great song. So verse 2, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my foot upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord our God." Wonderful. Trust in the Lord. Verse 4. "Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." He says, "God, you've done so many great things for me, I can't even count them all." I tried to make a list, and I ended up listless, because I just couldn't make a list. Hey, one thing I missed. If you go up to verse 1 again, where it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord," it's "I waited intently" could also be translated there. In Hebrew, it says, "Waiting, I waited," which is a figure of speech where you repeat the word twice, and it just makes it really strong. "Waiting, I waited." So he was intently waiting. He was intently expecting God to take care of him. We're all good at intense things, you know, like I say in sports, you have to focus, and if you do a certain thing, you throw a ball or hit a racket or swing a club, you got to do it over and over and over and really get intent on it if you want to get good at it. Well, how about working, putting sports aside, taking the same attitude and intently waiting and expecting God to bless us? You know, people have all kinds of things you can get into. I mean, you can get apps these days that, you know, quiz you on a foreign language you want to learn. And you can get all kinds of reminders and alarms and stuff like that. Well, where we need to be intense, where we need to be focused, is on patiently expecting God to bless us. So that's our goal between now and the next time we meet in a couple weeks, is focus on intently waiting on the Lord with expectation. Just focusing on that. So the minute your brain starts to go, but what if that doesn't? No. God's going to come through. And if he can't take care of you this way, he'll take care of you another way. But he'll come through. So intently expect the Lord to bless you and wait. It gives you something to do while the time is passing. It's a wonderful thing. And if things get too tough, just start humming, "He took me out of the pit." Life may be the pits today, but he's taken me out of the pit before. He's going to do it again. Okay, where did we get to? Verse 5. Oh, that's the one that says so many good things. We'll read it again. "Many, O Lord my God," verse 5, "are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Verse 6. "Sacrificed an offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Thy law is within my heart. "I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation." I didn't hold it in. I spoke about it. "Withhold not," verse 11, "withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me." See, again, we're often looking at things in the physical world to preserve us. And that's okay, because God gave us things in the physical world. People and buildings and cars and bank accounts and all the things we have that help preserve us. There's nothing wrong with that. But ultimately, the things that preserve us are God. Because God's the one that gave us all that. And if those things fail, he'll give us something else. Yeah, I like to see these little signs as I drive around the Virginia countryside. There's one over on Route 29 I go by. And it's been there for a couple weeks. It says, "When all else fails, God won't." When all else fails, God won't. And everything else may fail. So what? As long as God doesn't fail, we're fine. Oh, settle down, you guys. Be nice. Be nice. Be nice, you pooches. There's one bone and four dogs, so there was a minor disagreement. But they seem to have worked it out. All right, where were we here? Verse 11. "Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me." Because things will come and go in the world. But God's loving kindness and his truth, they'll always be there. What's it say in Romans? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So God's loving kindness and his truth will always be there. Verse 12. "For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me." Verse 14. "Let them be ashamed and confounded together. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backwards and put to shame that wish me evil." Verse 15. So he knew people were trying to do evil to him. He just said, "Lord, get rid of them. Protect me from them." Verse 15. "Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation, your deliverance, say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, verse 17, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Now, I want to go back and pick up something in verse 5. I have a great translation of verse 5, where it said that there were too many things God did for him that he could count. In the New Revised Standard Version, verse 5 of Psalm 40 reads as follows. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. That is great. Let's go to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. And verse 5. My soul, wait thou. Have that expectation. Wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him, from God. You see, what does it say in Philippians? We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. We enjoy working with people. We just don't put our trust, our reliance on them. We put it on God. So that's why he says, my expectation is from him. Wait thou only on the Lord, upon God. Expect, God's the one you're expecting to take care of you. My expectation is from him. Verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is the rock of myself, of my strength and my refuge. Excuse me. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So that's why we can wait with expectation on the Lord, because he is so reliable. He is our refuge. Let's see about something here now. Okay, let's read Psalm 130. Verse 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Lord, now people do tend to want to count up all of your shortcomings and remind you of them on a regular basis. But he said, God, if you made a list of all my iniquities, who can stand up to that? They just all fall over, collapse. That's why there's forgiveness with God. Ah, verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared or respected. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. And that's a great thing, because again, we have to take care of stuff around us in the world, but ultimately our reliance is on God, because he's the one that's always going to come through. Verse 6, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. And this would include, you know, people like guards, keepers, people, you know, checking to see when the sun comes up for various reasons for timing and switching the shift and the guard. So they're waiting. They can't wait for the sun to come up because it's morning. And he says, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Wonderful. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit or in disposition. So it's better to be the patient, have a patient disposition, than a proud, haughty, sort of boastful disposition. We've all met people like that. They can do everything. They know everything. I had this one friend who everybody in his family acted like they knew everything. And what, no matter what the question was, they had the answer. Not just a answer, but this is it. So he asked me one time what I thought about something. I said, well, not being a member of your family, I don't know everything like they do. But I do have some views based on this and that. And I told him a few things I knew about it and said, see if that helps. But sometimes you meet people, they just know. They're just so proud. They're so haughty. They just know. And those people, I never trust a word they say. Because if you can be so dang sure that you know all that and that you don't acknowledge that there might be another way to do it and there might be another fact that you haven't heard, that just tells me you have a very, very limited point of view, and all you're really trying to do is convince everybody how smart you are. There's nothing wrong with being smart, and there's nothing wrong with being confident, but there's a haughtiness, a pride, we have so many little sayings about it. You know, we say in English, pride goeth before a fall. If you go back in ancient literature, like with the Greek philosophers, the classic flaw, you know, going back to Homer and the Iliad and the Odyssey, all those guys, the classic flaw was hubris, as Brian said, which is basically a fancy word for pride. You thought you knew everything, so you messed up. You didn't take the time to figure out what's really going on. You just assumed you could do everything, you knew everything, you were better than everybody, and it comes back to bite you. It can work now and then, but in the end, it comes back to bite you. So it says, given being patient to trust God, or proud in spirit, it says it's better to be patient. Better to be patient. What verse were we in? It's in one of these. Oh, we got to 8. Cool. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, and that's another thing. There are occasions where anger is appropriate, but for the most part, it's better to be patient and trust God. Let somebody else get angry. Say not thou, verse 10, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? Oh, that's another great one. People always talking about the good old days. The good old days were pretty good, but we tend to remember the things we want to remember. If we're really honest, we had some hellish times in the good old days, too. There were some good times, but same with life today. We got great things going on and a few challenges, but life is always like that. There's always good stuff and there's always challenges. So it says, verse 10, say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. I've gone a little beyond where I was going to go. Anyway, let's keep reading here. Let's go to Isaiah, a very favorite one along these lines. Isaiah 40. Yeah, okay. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Creator, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? See, not only can he multitask, he doesn't wear out. He doesn't take breaks. He doesn't need vacations. And it's actually funny, though, because if you're familiar with how, say, for instance, a Buddhist temple or some similar temple operates, they give the, quote, God, the statue they're praying to, breaks. They give him nap time. They'll do stuff like close the curtains over the statue because he's got to rest. Then when nap time is over, we'll open it up and you can start praying to him again. And they have a little bell to wake him up because he needs to come out of his nap time. And I'm not really exaggerating. This is the way not all pagan temples operate, but many of them there's common things. So to say God is not weary and he doesn't rest, that was very different for these people because they were used to having quote, gods they worship that needed a break. Yeah, God's off the beach this week. Sorry. Call next week. You may need to go to the beach. I may need to go to the beach, but not God. Okay, here we go. Isaiah 40:28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord that created the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Google cannot get to the end of God's understanding, no matter how good your algorithms are. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint, the ones that tend to have the most energy, the young people, even they will faint, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord, those that look to God with expectation, they're waiting, they're patiently expecting God to bless them, they shall renew their strength. So you may be wearing out mentally and physically, or emotionally or economically or any other way you may be wearing out, but you look to the Lord, you wait patiently, you expect him to bless you, and God will renew your strength. In whatever area you may be weak, God will strengthen you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now that alone is pretty powerful. Eagle is a large bird. It's obviously the symbol of our nation. Very powerful when they take off. But there's another wrinkle here that Bishop Pillai taught us, who a wonderful fellow from India that taught us about a lot of Eastern customs in the Bible. Apparently there are certain eagles that molt every now and then, maybe once a year. And the way they do it is they fly up high and they dive bomb into a lake, and the impact knocks all their feathers off. And they sort of squawk around looking like a plucked chicken. And then their feathers go back, and they're stronger than ever. Now, you may feel like a plucked chicken now and then. You may feel like you've lost all your strength. But the point of the verse is, you can lose all your strength, but God will strengthen your heart. And you will mount up with wings as eagles. No matter how weak and challenged and hurt you may have been, you can mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So that's what's so great about waiting on the Lord. Now, we got halfway through the notes, so I'm going to quit here. And when we meet in 2 weeks, we'll finish this up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these great truths in your word that are written so clearly that we can understand them and apply them to our lives. And in the weeks ahead, may we pray and look to you and patiently expect you to take care of us. And then rejoice as we see you at work in our lives, taking care of us, bringing us deliverance. And may that just encourage us to believe you all the more, trust you all the more, and heave even more patient expectation for the next challenge that follows. May we pray for one another. May we pray for those others that we love and others in need. And may we just have a great few weeks until we meet again. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.